Our scripture reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and verse 21 through 22. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from the heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for your word and for the opportunity that I have to share it this morning. I ask, pray that what I say would be pleasing to you and would build up our faith. Thank you, God, for the gift of your word and your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. What's in a name? Well, as it turns out, there's a lot in a name. Many of our parents had decided long before we were born what it is that we were going to be named. Probably a lot of discussion about what it is that was going, what you were going to be named, trying out different combinations to make sure that as you entered life, you had a good name that was worthy of their beautiful child that was born. Because names are very important. Names are a way for us to show honor as well. Maybe your parents didn't have to think for a really long time about what it was that they were going to name you because they already knew that you were going to be named after a family member or someone that they wanted to give honor to as a way of remembering those that have come before. So they wanted to give honor to somebody by passing a name on. That's what my wife and I did. We knew pretty early on that we were going to name our children after family members, and so that's how Carl got his name, from five generations of Carl with a K, but most especially named after his grandfather because we wanted to give honor to my dad. And our daughter Elizabeth, she got the name Elizabeth as a way of honoring Morgan's grandmother, a sweet lady I never got to meet, but who went by Betty, and so I've kind of tried to win the nickname war by calling Elizabeth Betty, and she answers to it, so I think I'm winning. It was a way we wanted to show honor to our family and those that have come before us. We give people nicknames. Some are sweet pet names. Others are funnier nicknames. I've had a couple of those over the years. They're nicknames that we love and some that we're just kind of stuck enduring. But nicknames, they come around because when people are important in your life, you name them. It's nice to hear our name used fondly and with love, whether it's from a spouse, a friend, our parents, our children. To hear someone use your name and to be able to hear the affection in their voice is rewarding because our name is wrapped up in our identity, who we are as people. And then there's titles, those names that we're given that sort of indicate a role that we have. There's doctors, pastor, mom, dad, daughter, son. They're names that we're given that tell about what it is that we do or what we're involved in. And that's where we are today with our scripture with Jesus. Our scripture today shows Jesus embracing his identity or his title as the Messiah. John the Baptist had been preaching a strong message of repentance leading towards baptism. And he had been so provocative and powerful and effective that those around him started to wonder if maybe this John the Baptist guy was the Messiah. He could be the one that we're looking for, the Savior. And John the Baptist quickly put that to bed. He said, "No, I am not. I'm strictly here to prepare the way for the one who's going to come after me, the Messiah that's going to come. I'm not worthy to fasten his sandal. I'm not the guy that you're looking for. Matthew, we read from Luke this morning, but Matthew's gospel gives us a little more color to the story because Jesus approaches John for baptism, and John says, you should be the one baptizing me, not the other way around. And Jesus' response to him is, let it be so now, for it's proper in this way for us to fulfill all righteousness. This was Jesus' way of saying, this is something I need to do in order to bring about, to get started what it is that I've been sent to the earth to do. It was a way for him to transition into his public ministry. And by submitting to baptism, Jesus is giving us an example of what it is that he's going to later ask all of his disciples to participate in, and that's to be baptized. But Jesus' baptism was a whole lot more than that as well, because it seems like it was Jesus' way, his baptism was a way for John's ministry of preparation to transition into Jesus' ministry of salvation. His baptism was a public announcement that he was embracing his status as the Messiah, the Son of God. Because after Jesus is baptized, God speaks down from heaven and announces that Jesus is his son, his beloved, and that he was well pleased with him. God's acceptance and his pleasure at his son is announced to all. He's the one that you've been waiting for. And the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and settled on Jesus. There he embraced the name of the Messiah, the beloved Son of God, and he embraced all that was going to come with that, the good and the bad. With Jesus' name came amazing power. He did signs and wonders, miracles, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he had power. And it also came with authority that he never abused, that he used as setting an example of what it is to be a servant leader. Even though he had all the authority that anyone could ever possibly imagine as the Son of God, he didn't abuse it. He also had great responsibility, which required him to sacrifice a lot in order to bring about good for all humanity. But he embraced all of that at his baptism. Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, calling us to be his disciples. And like Jesus' baptism was meaningful and powerful and important, so also is our baptism. It's also meaningful and important and life-changing. Jesus called his disciples and asked them to make more disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And baptism, it's that big thing that we can do to start the process of being a follower of Jesus. Our baptism is a public identification with Jesus, and it's where we put on a new name, the name Christian. Our embrace, and to embrace our identity as a beloved child of God. We're telling the world where our allegiance is when we come forward for baptism. Our allegiance is to God, and we are going to publicly identify with him through baptism. When we're baptized, we're initiated into the church of Jesus. We're embracing his salvation and love, and we receive a new name, the name Christian. And the only reason we can ever receive that name is because God loved each and every one of us. Just like he called Jesus his beloved, he calls us his beloved as well. The new name that we receive at baptism is powerful, it's life-changing, and it's life-giving. And if we'll let it, it can inform our identity more so than any name that we're going to pick up along the way in our life. So we receive a new name at baptism, the name Christian. But sometimes it can take a little bit of time to grow into that name. Just like how when a child is born, they might need to grow into their name. Because in a way, names are aspirational. You don't name a child just for the time of their birth, but you name them for the person that you hope that they're going to one day grow into, the person that they're going to be. So while we continue to grow into our new name of Christian, it's good to know that it's a process. And it's a process that isn't ever completely over. There's always growth that can happen in terms of our faith and in terms of our identity as a Christian. But we don't have to grow alone. We don't have to do it alone. And we also are given the direction in which we're supposed to be aiming towards. We're supposed to be moving at baptism when we take the vows that we take at baptism. The vows that we take at baptism, when you do that, you affirm that you renounce the spiritual forces of darkness, that you reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin. And that's a big statement. To renounce wickedness and evil is to side with the force and source of all goodness, which is God. It's moving away from those other things. And then to repent of your sin is to also to turn away from sin and move towards the one who has taken care of sin and taken it away once and for all. And this can be an overwhelming thing to think about. If we were just to come up for baptism and say that one thing as our vow and then be baptized and walk away, that could be a little overwhelming. I'm supposed to resist the evil forces and wickedness by myself? Like, I'm supposed to be pushing against all these different forces, but we're not doing it alone. And that's where the next part of our vow of baptism comes in. It says, do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? That's where the difference is made. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist these evil forces? Our new name means that we rely on God to give us the power to stand up to the forces of evil, the forces of sin, knowing that together with Him and together we can overcome those things. And our vows continue with this, and this is where they end. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people, ages, nations, and races? In baptism, we vow to trust God's grace, trusting that He's not going to leave us and that His grace can cover all sins. And join together with the church, which God has opened to all people from all places, all backgrounds. Regardless of where they are in their current lifestyle, His grace is available to all. All who want to accept it and come in can receive that new name of Christian. And that name that we identify with in baptism is powerful. And remembering that baptism can be a great source of strength as we encounter difficulties and trials in life, because wrapped up in that baptism is your identity as a beloved child of God. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, there's a story that's told about him where he had angered a lot of pretty powerful people by what he was preaching and for the changes that he was trying to bring about in the church. And so Martin Luther was in hiding in a castle, and while he was hiding in the castle, he was going about the massive work of translating the Bible from Latin into German so that the people of his day could read the scriptures in a language that they understood. But he was under a lot of pressure and I'm sure a lot of discouragement being locked away and in hiding. And the story is told that while he's spending time in this castle, in times of great frustration, he could be heard to shout, "I am baptized! I am baptized!" It was sort of this thing that he repeated in order to take strength from the fact that he was baptized, that God was with him, that he was a beloved child of God. It was his way of coping with the massive strain that he was under, was to remember his identity as a loved child of God, and that's something that no one could ever take away from him. And not all of us can remember the exact event of our baptism, but we do have the assurance that having been baptized, all of the things that come along with baptism are available to us. By remembering that you have been baptized, you can remember that you have a source of strength that goes far beyond yourself, but is of God. You're not doing this alone, you're doing it with Him. That you are His beloved child, and He has named you. So in light of the power that can be seen in remembering our baptism, I wanted to give us an opportunity, if you wish, to reaffirm your baptismal vows. And after we do that, you can come forward and kneel at the rail, and either Pastor Deborah or myself will come and make the sign of the cross on your forehead, and inviting you to remember your baptism and be thankful. But before we do that, we'll start with affirming our faith with a call and response version of the Apostles' Creed. This is a very old method of affirming our faith that has been a part of baptismal ceremonies since at least the 3rd century. And so it's a good way of getting started to just publicly state what it is that we believe, and then we can move on with the reaffirmation of the baptismal vows. So I ask you, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the 3rd day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now we'll have an opportunity to reaffirm our baptismal vows. I'll ask you some questions, and if you agree, you can repeat back the words, "I do." On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? I do. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I do. Do you confess Jesus as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? I do. Amen.